okay? Wait 3 or 4 years before you fall in love with the players. Fall in love with these first draft picks that'll happen at the amateur draft that's coming up next week. Those are the guys to fall in love with, because those are the guys who are going to be there for a long period of time. As I mentioned, Fleury might be gone at the deadline. James Neal could be gone at the deadline. Any of these older players could be gone at the deadline, because all it is now is how do we make our team the best possible team it can be in 3 or 4 years. And that is draft picks, draft picks, draft picks, trade for young players, trade for young players, trade for young players. So that's all Vegas is going to want. So wait a couple years before you buy that jersey that says your favorite player's name on it, because it'll be absolute really quick in Nashville. So just have patience, pick the right guy, make sure he's there for 10 years.
Barry Melrose last Wednesday night after the NHL expansion draft advising fans not to buy Vegas Golden Knights jersey for 3 years. I wonder if Gary Bettman or Bill Foley were paying attention to that. We'll talk more about that on the show. Speaking of the show, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on the official home of the NHL's newest franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM Las Vegas. I said we because always here with me, pushing all the right buttons and taking your calls, is a man who owns as many bucket hats as my girlfriend does shoes. My friend and future Nevada Broadcast Hall of Fame member, Out of Line producer Magnum. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studios in Las Vegas and streaming on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Without you, there's no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, give Magnum a call. Turn down your radio and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. We'll start off with a little draft talk, NHL and NBA. I had a chance to talk with a couple of the newest Vegas Golden Knights a day after the expansion draft, and coming up shortly, Derek England, a Vegas resident, picked to come home and play for his town's first ever Major League Professional Sports franchise. You think any of the guys on his team are hitting him up for what to do or where to go in Vegas? Yeah. After the first break, Las Vegas Sun staff writer Jesse Granger will be joining. He was down at T-Mobile Arena for all the festivities last week and also spent some time with some of the new Golden Knights. We'll get his take on both the 2017 NHL draft and the Golden Knights expansion draft from a local standpoint. And although he doesn't know it yet, Jesse will be giving us some predictions for the team. A little later on, I have no idea what's blazing for Magnum, but I am not sure. I'm not sure anything is hotter than this professional team we're going to talk about on the West Coast. And no show is complete without the self-entertaining and often controversial, unsponsored feature, Fact This. And Magnum and I think we may be more blessed than we know. Magnum might not know yet, but I'm about to tell him. Well, at least for our guest, Magnum, you know, we're much luckier than you think. I want you to check out this fact. You're going to freak out about this. A couple of weeks ago, we were joined on the show by All-American golfer John Oda, right? Remember that? The next day, he goes out and qualifies as an amateur to play in the U.S. Open. You remember that, right?
Of course, yeah.
A year ago, I interviewed Michael Conforto in September at Cashman Field. You remember that interview, Megs?
Yes.
The next day, what happened? The next day, he got called back up to the Mets, and he has never been back here since. Well, let me tell you, I want to let you know that last Sunday, we have Chasen Bradford on the phone while his father, Doug, was in studio. And Thursday, he gets the call for the first time in his career and is now a member of the New York Mets. I got to tell you, man, it almost brings tears to my eyes. Pretty flippin' cool. But think of that. Oda calls the next day. He qualified. We talked to Chasen Bradford. Maybe some athletes ought to start giving the show a call, Max. Think about that. Pretty kind of eerie. You want to call it ironic, call it what you will. But the bottom line is, when I talked to Chasen in April, things were as up in the air as could be. And he was 27, back at Cashman, getting ready to start his fourth season with the 51s.
The kid from Vegas, you're playing here, you've got family and friends, that's got to be great for them to see and you watch her. But is it did get discouraging as well? Because I'm sure the questions come up all the time. Jason, when are we going to see you in that Mets uniform?
No, not really. I don't think so because, you know, I'm still playing baseball at the highest level below the big leagues. So you can't really be mad at that. I got here in a good amount of time when I wasn't expected to. So, I mean, it's just a time thing. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, so what? You know, I got to play baseball for a good part of my life. And, you know, having my family and friends around to see me play, it's awesome. You can't beat it.
Attitude! That's what helped, I believe, put Chasen Bradford in the major leagues. You know, Magsy told me when I interviewed him, and you know, you heard the interview, he said this year he's going to have fun. He went back to enjoying baseball. He said, you know what, look at how blessed I am. I'm playing Triple-A baseball in front of my hometown fans, my family, how great that is. And you know what, if that's as good as it gets, that's pretty damn good, and I'll take it. And look what happens a short time later, man. The dude is in the major leagues. Hey, you'll hear more with Chasen and Doug Bradford in the Las Vegas 51s report coming up a little bit later on tap at Bubby's University. Earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. And I thought was there something coming out of it? I don't remember if there was or not. What's out of tap? What's on tap? I was supposed to play something else. I don't remember. But, oh, I know what I was supposed to do, Mags. We were supposed to hear the Derek England interview, right?
I believe so, yes.
We were going to do that. So why don't we let them hear? I had a chance to talk to this guy. And it's not like he's from Vegas. You look at those, especially the way he spells his name. You can tell he is a foreign descent. He's Canadian. But what happened was when he played for the Las Vegas Wranglers back in the early part of this century.
He actually had two stints with the Wranglers.
Right, he did. Yeah. He did. One very short one, and then he had a full season with them.
Yes.
And he
played under Glenn Gullitson.
Yes. Yes,
probably. Who is a former coach of the Dallas Stars and the current coach of the Calgary Flames.
Calgary, who at one time was the parent franchise of the Wranglers.
The Wranglers,
But England played for the Wranglers, met a girl, turned out to be his wife, and he made his residence Las Vegas. And it has been since the early part of the century, as I said. So basically, he's coming home. And Derek England, what a nice guy, man. Really enjoyed talking to him.
So, Derek England, Las Vegas. If I would have told you at the beginning of your career, you'd potentially be ending your career as a Las Vegas Golden Knight in the NHL, what would you have told me?
I would have thought you were a little crazy, probably, but, you know, it's reality now, and I'm very excited to be here and be able to play at home and hopefully finish my career here.
How was your feeling being part of the expansion draft as opposed to them waiting for free agency to draft you? Because that was something that was a potential, and yet they showed they really wanted Derek England playing for the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, I actually was pretty shocked when they called and said they were interested in taking me in the expansion draft and instead of waiting. So it made the decision easier, them showing that they wanted to take me as their pick. And, you know, for us to end up here in the draft and be part of all this, it's pretty awesome.
Last thing I got to ask you is everyone I've talked to here is all pointed to you saying, we're going to talk to Derek to find out where to live, where to eat. I imagine you're getting an awful lot of that right now.
I'm sure it'll get more and more as we go along. But, there's been a few guys asking, so we'll do whatever I can to make it easier transition for any guys that are coming.
And just about your family. Pretty excited you're playing here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's just super excited, you know, to be home. Kids are in the same school, sleeping in their own bed every night. So we're super stoked to be part of it and be here playing for the Knights.
Good story, Mags. You know, Derek England, we both met him on Thursday after the big NHL awards ceremony, the expansion draft. Good kid. I don't know if he's got a real long career. I mean, he's been bounced around, never been a real high producer, but it's cool to see a local guy that once played here at the lower level playing at the bigger level, and he's going to be one of the original Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and because they signed him to a free agent contract, it's only a one-year contract, right. I think, at least in my opinion, I think it's safe to say he will be on the roster to start the season. You don't sign a free agent with the intention of trading him before the season starts. But You know, and it's one of the things I guess we don't ever think about because we don't have to deal with it. But when I talked to Derek, one of the things that he mentioned was now that he's home, there's a lot of things he can just focus on playing hockey. You know, when you live in a city and you have to go to another city to basically work, you know, one of the things we don't think about is you have to find a place to live. You've got to get your vehicles up there. You've got to move your clothes. You have to worry about your family. He said, you know, now I can focus on work.
You think so? I think every guy on the roster is going to be talking to Derek England about Vegas that hasn't been here. Because you know what we forget? You think, well, these guys are professional athletes. They've all been to Vegas. Well, some of the guys we picked up in the expansion draft, yes, they're older. But a lot of these guys are kids, man. They have no idea about Las Vegas and what an experience it's going to be. And it's not a town really equipped to come here and not know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of these guys, it seemed like especially Marc-Andre Fleury, he almost seemed overwhelmed by the moment, you know, and
what a good guy, another one. That just
got to talk to him a little bit on Thursday, and, you know, for a guy who was the number one overall draft pick, for a guy who's won 3 Stanley Cups, he's won a gold medal, he's played in All-Star games, he's very grounded, I guess it's a good word. He comes across as a real genuine, funny, nice guy, and I think the people are going to love him based on my initial conversations with him, and I'm really excited. I mean, it's amazing. I posted it the other day on our Facebook page on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM that we just celebrated our first birthday. It was 1 year ago, I believe on the 22nd, that the NHL awarded a franchise to Las Vegas, and in that 1 year, we've been given a name. We've been given a jersey. We've been given an expansion roster. Well, after yesterday and the draft conclusion, we now have a roster of minor league players. We've completed trades. We've done transactions. We've signed free agents. We are now a legitimate franchise. We have everything in place. The next step is rookie camp, which is going to take place this week. And I'm really excited to see some of these guys that they drafted. Cody Glass is, by all indications, going to be a pretty good player.
He really is. And even Suzuki, 45 goals in the Ontario Hockey League, or 54 goals. It was a ridiculous, gaudy number. And I'll tell you what, Max, growing up in Detroit, I'm very familiar with the Ontario Hockey League. And let me tell you something. If you're scoring 45, 50 goals in that league, you can play hockey, and you're going to be seeing ice time probably within 2 years at the National Hockey League level. And what's wild about these kids, 17 years old, you're looking at their frame lot now, like Cody Glass. What is he, 6'2 now, and he's 17 years old? Mags, that could be another 2-3 inches. You know, really, can you see growth spurts when these kids get in college of 2 or 3 inches? Could Cody Glass end up being 6'5"? Is it possible?
Well, it seems he's got a good combination of skill and size. And, it's amazing because you read, first of all, if you weren't paying attention, the Golden Knights had 3 picks in the top 15 of the first round, which is, I mean, that's a pretty good way to start to build your franchise. I mean, everyone's going to look at the expansion picks and say, oh, well, you know, this guy, he's not very good, or that guy. I think it's more important what they did Friday and Saturday than what they did on Thursday night, because Thursday night, all they did was basically build a roster for this season, pick guys that they may be able to move further down in the season next year to be able to acquire more draft picks. But, you know, the Eric Brandstrom kid, he's a Swede. He was the 15th pick. A lot of pundits are saying he's a steal of the draft, a defenseman from Sweden. I thought it was really funny. He said he kind of knows what to expect in Vegas. Why? Because he's seen The Hangover.
Great. And, you know, they say he's a tough guy. He's undersized as well right now, but a guy, another kid that can continue to grow. We'll talk about more with that. We are going to have Jesse Granger from the Las Vegas Sun on after we take a break. Real quickly before we go to breaks, I don't know if we'll have much time to talk about it afterwards. The NBA draft was kind of intriguing. I know, you know, the big question is, did anybody get closer to Golden State in the West or to Cleveland in the East? The answer is nobody got closer, but I will tell you this much. Philadelphia is going to be a lot of fun. That is going to be an interesting, fun team to watch. You look at some young talent and how young these guys are. I mean, Foles is going to be a player. This guy comes in NBA ready. He has a complete game, a great basketball IQ, and to me was the bona fide number one pick as much as I do like Lonzo Ball. But you pair him up with Ben Simmons, and if they can keep Joel Embiid healthy, that is going to be a really fun team in Philadelphia to watch. I don't know if they're playoff ready this coming season.
They are. They're going to make the playoffs.
But they're pretty close.
That's my team, actually, and
Max,
I'm pretty excited.
Max, how about, you know what team that I'm excited to watch? I'm really excited now to watch the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think adding Jimmy Butler, I think they might have had the best draft of anybody. Next to 76ers had a real good move also. As much as I think the Chicago Bulls are out of their mind, Jimmy Butler, but you pair Jimmy Butler now with Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. Mags, you got big threes all over the place. It seems like that's the formula in the NBA is to get three all-star players. And if you don't have three all-star players on the court on your team, you don't got a chance anymore in the NBA.
Yeah, and I'm going to just go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that the Phoenix Suns missed. I'm not a fan of Josh Jackson. I think he's got serious, serious maturity issues. And the crap that he pulled with the Boston Celtics, it's hard to root for a guy like that because he's so immature and he's allowing these idiots to dictate how to be a man. But I think he's going to get pushed
humble
around a bit.
Humble pie, brother, is coming his way very soon.
That's exactly. He's going to have a lot of humble pie.
Yeah. He's going to be tasting it. And also, you know, I'm happy for a guy like that I really enjoyed seeing go up to Portland. Zach Collins, you know, of course, played for Gonzaga, played at Bishop Gorman here, a local guy. And he got taken. Where did Zach go in the draft? I think 10th.
10th.
Yeah,
to Sacramento.
Portland. Yeah. And then shortly after him, two picks later, I didn't mind the Pistons pick. My team picking up Luke Kennard from Duke. Luke Kennard has a tremendous basketball IQ. Again, he's one of those basketball IQ guys that can play three positions on the court and play them very well. And he can bang from the outside. We are way overdue for a break. Listen, we're going to come back on the other side. Jesse Granger, we will be talking more Vegas Golden Knights, more hockey. Don't forget a little later on in the show, you definitely want to stick around for all three of our segments. And Mags, pretty heartfelt last week, that interview where we had Doug Bradford interview his son, and of course he goes up to the majors. We're going to hear a little segment of that interview down the road. This is Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM Las Vegas. Out of line.
Go there and say, look, I've won three Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh. I don't need to do that again. I'd love to, but I don't need to do that again. I would love to stay here and be part of this team for 3, 4 years, 5 years, letting younger goaltenders learn, bringing younger goaltenders in the organization. So he could do that and end up retiring as a Knight, and that'd be a great story. Or he could go there as a stopgap measure, and next year at the deadline, there could be a team that's a really good team. This is all we need, the goaltender to win the Stanley Cup. They go to Las Vegas, they trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, Vegas gets a first-round draft pick for him, and then he goes on to take another run at winning Stanley Cup. So those are really the only two ways the story will end. Happily ever after, that he stays as a Las Vegas player, or that he'll be out of here real quick, sort of as a hired gun to get a high draft pick for, in order to stockpile that young group of draft picks that we're talking about.
Barry Melrose also telling fans that there is a very good chance Marc-Andre Fleury won't even be a Golden Knight for a full season. Okay, I can see that, but how anticlimactic, Barry Melrose? Joining us now, Jesse Granger, staff writer for the Las Vegas Sun. Jesse's been a guest on the show, shows I've been involved with since, I think, 2012. So, Jesse, would that have made you a junior at UNLV at the time?
It would. It would have, yeah. I've been there for a while now. I've been on here for UNLV basketball, UNLV football, high school sports, and now the Golden Knights.
Well, if you look at my Facebook page, or my Twitter, I should say, the picture I put up on you is you hugging Hey Reb, and I think that was your senior year at UNLV when I snapped that picture. So, Jesse, what's your take on what Barry Melrose is saying? Will Marc-Andre Fleury be gone by the 2018 trading deadline, or should fans really hold off from buying Golden Knights jerseys for 3 years until they figure out who the star for the next 10 seasons is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit here and say he's gone, but it's pretty likely. I mean, I honestly think any player that's over the age of like 23, 24 that is a hot commodity at the trading deadline could be on their way out. I mean, George McPhee has made it crystal clear that he wants to build this team through the entry draft, and they're not going to compete right away. And I just think he sees any player that's playing really well as kind of a trading chip to get picks. Now, he's not going to trade away the entire team, and Fleur is probably one of the ones most likely to stay just because of everything he brings to the team. But, yeah, I could see it happening.
Yeah, you know, Magnum and I were talking about that during the break, and I said, here's the bottom line. Murray could get hurt again like he did for a part of the playoffs this year. Are you kidding? If Pittsburgh gives him a call next year and says, hey, we're looking to three-peat. Hey, Marc-Andre, you want to come and play? He is so packed up and back in Pittsburgh, we won't even see the trail smoke from the plane that he's on. And no one can blame him. And like you said, Jesse, I'm not disagreeing with Bill Foley or George McPhee or any of them. I truly believe that draft picks, just like Barry Melrose says, is going to build this franchise and be the future. But right now, which jersey would you rather have at $250 a pop? Marc-Andre Fleury or Cody Glass?
I mean, I'm not much of a jersey guy, but I get Cody Glass is definitely in the long-term plans of the Golden Knights. So I guess but the thing is, he won't be a Golden Knight for two, three years.
Yeah.
Probably closer to three than two. None of these guys will be that they drafted. They're a bunch of like 17-year-old kids. But from pretty much every draft expert out there, from other GMs have said it. I mean, George McPhee absolutely killed it in these last couple of days with this draft. And, I mean, it's hard not to when you've got six picks in the first two rounds. But he made some really, really good picks that are going to set this team up to be good in the next 3-4 years, which is what the goal is. When I talked to Gerard Gallant at the store opening, actually, at the Armory, he told me, he's like, our goal is not to kind of fight for a playoff spot and be okay for a couple of years. Our goal is to win a Stanley Cup, so we're going to do what we got to do that.
And, you know, as you said, it's going to take a little bit of time, and I think they killed it in the draft, too, from the little bit of due diligence I did on these guys. Glass, Suzuki, you are talking about two centermen that can definitely find the back of the twine, and they did it several times in the league. And I said Suzuki as well. Being from Detroit, I'm very familiar with the Ontario Hockey League. And I'll tell you what, you score over 50 goals or over 45 goals in that league, you're going to be playing in the National Hockey League one day. It's just that simple. And Suzuki is also a hell of a player. I really like what they did. Listen, I know you, like several of us here, are keeping a close eye on everything Golden Knights right now. First, your opinion on the expansion draft as a whole, and then your opinion on the 2017 NHL draft, in particular, the top three choices, which we've been talking a little bit about.
I think they did pretty well in the expansion draft, mainly because they got all those picks in the entry draft. There were a couple teams that I was kind of scratching my head on. Detroit, for one, team you're familiar with, I was extremely shocked that they didn't take Mrazek, the goaltender. And then if they didn't take him, I figured there'd be a deal, but there wasn't. They just pretty much kind of did Detroit a favor on that one. I'm not exactly sure. I'm curious to ask McPhee what that was about, kind of when the dust settled.
A lot of guys from Detroit with Detroit ties involved in the organization out here.
Yeah, that could have something to do with it. But no, I think as a whole they did really well. They kind of got a mixture of guys that are good right now in Fleury, James Neal from the Predators, Marchessault from the Florida Panthers. They got in Marchessault, the guy's 26. He scored 30 goals.
Love
him. The same amount of goals as Connor McDavid last year.
Love him.
And he's making about $1 million. I mean that right there is a great pickup for them. And then they got a mixture of guys that are good right now, and they got a bunch of draft picks. In the entry draft, I think they did really well. You already talked about the two centermen that they got, but I think maybe the two best picks in the draft were the next two picks.
Oh, yeah.
The 15th overall, which is Erik Brännström.
Kid from Sweden, yeah.
The kid is a defenseman, but he skates like a winger. I mean, he's going to be an absolute weapon on power plays and stuff like that as a defenseman. And then in the first pick of the second round, Nicholas Hague. The dude's 6'6", 210 pounds. He's currently the biggest player on the Golden Knights, tallest and heaviest, and he's 18 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he even done growing yet?
Probably not.
Yeah, scary.
I mean, like I said, he just turned 18 a couple months ago, and he's 6'6", 210.
Well, the good news is, I mean, hey, if we get a basketball franchise out here, maybe he can go both sports. I mean, that kid is huge. You're 100% right. He is Jesse Granger, staff writer for the Las Vegas Sun. We are talking the Vegas Golden Knights. For those of you that have been residing on the moon for the last year plus, the Golden Knights are the National Hockey League's newest franchise beginning play this season, with their home ice being the T-Mobile Arena. Jesse, I'm going to let you be the first on the show to predict the Golden Knights' record this inaugural season. And how many seasons does it take them to make their first playoff appearance?
Oh, man. It's really tough to predict a record because, like I said, we don't know. I mean, they could have a really good first start to the season and then trade away the couple guys that are kind of making that happen at the deadline. I'll say this pretty confidently. Last year, the worst team in the league, the Colorado Avalanche, had 48 points. I think the Golden Knights have 70 this year.
I think that's really fair. I think that's really
a
fair.
A much, much better season than the Avalanche had. I would say 70 points is probably about where they're going to end up, somewhere between 65 and 75, in between there.
What would the Avalanche's record have been if they had Marc-Andre Fleury this year?
Yeah, and the thing is, the way the NHL is set up, by the way, I hate the way it's set up, but the way they have it set up for who makes the playoffs, it kind of keeps teams in the hunt longer than other sports. It's because half the teams get in, but just the way they have it. So I think it'll be kind of cool for Golden Knights fans that I don't think this team's going to be 50 games out or whatever. I think they're going to kind of, well into the season, they're going to be in that hunt. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think it takes at least 3 years for them to make the playoffs. Probably in year three is when you're going to be kind of expecting this team to kind of make a push, but I think they're much better than the Avalanche were this year, which is, I think they'll probably be 3 or 4 teams with less points than them when the season comes to an end.
I think it's a pretty fair assessment of this team overall. And in that third year, as you're talking about, you might see one or two of the guys you saw in this year's draft start making their way to the NHL's roster. Getting a little time up here, because in 2 years, a 17-year-old body turns into a 19-year-old, 20-year-old body, and we've seen many of those guys succeed at about 19 years old. I relate to one, my favorite player of all time, Stevie Yzerman, broke in with the Wings at 19 years old and had a very, very good rookie season. So it is, but I think that's about the earliest you want to try cracking the NHL. Magnum, did you know Jesse Granger is working his way to legendary status as a wall between the pipes in Las Vegas inline hockey? Did you know that?
Well, maybe we should propose that Jesse gets in goal against Colin Miller, who was one of the draft picks from the Boston Bruins, who apparently hits a 105-mile-an-hour slap shot.
I heard Jesse, it was like last week, I was hearing a story, and the guy came over. Jesse was, the thing about Jesse Granger, really good dude, and he's extremely humble, seriously, and I'm not joking around with anybody out there, and it took another guy to walk up to me and say, he is basically full of crap. He's really, really good. And then Jesse's telling me like 20 saves in a row, glove saves in a row, and he just kind of throws on the pads, and he went from ice hockey to inline, and it was a really tough transition. But you love the game, brother, right?
I do. We were just out there last night, 115 degrees. I had the whole goalie equipment on, strapped up. Well, actually, it's funny. I did a story with Chris Davidson Adams, the Golden Knights head equipment manager, and we were in the pro shop messing around with all the equipment, and I mentioned that I had played goalie, and he's like, yeah, man, we got to get a GoPro on you. And this is back when Shipachoff was like the only player on the team, and he's like, well, we'll have Vadim Shipachoff come out and kind of score on you. That's probably going to end poorly for me, but I'll do it.
Oh, that is great. Well, I definitely have to get out and see it. It sucks. I'm way too old. I've got some rollerblades, but the most I'll do is skate around the outside of the rink and watch you guys play. Pretty cool, man. Hey, listen, Jesse Granger, staff writer at the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at Jesse Granger. Jesse, thanks for the insight, and good luck this season on the pavement, brother. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, we take one more break. We will come back. We've got Blazin' coming up. We have Fact This. And like I said, a pretty cool Las Vegas 51s report. Magnum will fill us in on this week's podcast, which you can expect in the world of soccer. And it's all right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM. I said it backwards, 98.9 FM, but we get to the same place. Out of line.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
He's hot because he's fly. You ain't because you're not. Magnum's going to give you his Blazin'. This is Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital, featuring two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. During football season, the greatest Monday night football party in Las Vegas. That's my opinion anyway. Come on down there. We are hosting every Monday night. We give away replica jerseys, wing parties, and a whole lot more. That is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Magnum, hit me, man.
All right, well, I went out to go watch 51s on Thursday night, Dollar Beer Night, of course, and they were playing Salt Lake Bees. Caleb Cowart is a infielder with the Salt Lake Bees. Listen to this night that this guy had. 6 for 6, 5 runs scored, and hit for the cycle.
Wow.
You don't see that too often, even in AAA, but, I mean, we were in the press box just blown away by the evening this guy had, and Salt Lake Bees, they were just cracking the ball on Thursday night. 51's got them last night, but Caleb Cowart, his Thursday evening out at Cashman Field, pretty hot, pretty blazing.
That's ridiculous. Great stats, and Salt Lake Bees, man, they're pretty good. I think they're going to end up winning the division.
I don't know if I've ever seen any. I've been watching baseball, including minor league baseball.
Alive.
I don't know if I've ever seen someone hit for the cycle live.
I don't think I have. I have seen so many games, it's ridiculous. I really don't think I have either. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. Well, my Blazin' will start off this way.
Well, listen, if Clayton Kershaw pitches like Clayton Kershaw, Tyler Chatwood has to pitch like Clayton Kershaw.
You get it? It's not Clayton Kershaw that's blazing, although he is, because the bottom line is the Los Angeles Dodgers won again last night behind Clayton Kershaw, the best pitcher on the planet right now. He is 11-2 on the season. They have the best record in the National League and are riding a 9-game winning streak, and they have won 14 out of their last 15 games. Obviously, they're in first place in the National League West. What's crazy is that they are only 2.5 games over the almost equally hot Arizona Diamondbacks, who have the second best record in the National League, are an 8-2 in their last 10 games. The Dodgers are 50-26 in the season. The only team in baseball with a better record, the Houston Astros, who are one game better at 51-25. They have been pretty steady and hot all season. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. But Mags, even though it has been a minute, I still don't like the Astros in the American League any more than I like the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League. I don't understand to this day why that had to happen.
I don't know. It's weird. I think for balancing, but when they brought in the
balancing
Marlins,
they switched leagues.
When they brought the Rockies and the Marlins in, they put them both in the National League, and I never understood why they just didn't put one in the American League.
Who came
League?
In with Tampa Bay when they went into the American League?
Arizona.
Yeah. So, and Arizona was a National League. You're right.
Yeah,
1-1.
But to me, the Rockies were always built like an American League club because they always had guys who could rake the ball. I mean, think about it. Larry Walker,
and
Dante
Bichette.
You're
in the best hitter's ballpark in the country, you know, in Coors Field.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no better hitter's ballpark than Coors Field.
But they had guys who could hit the ball. And now they have, I think, the best pitching staff they've ever had. And they're pretty good, but unfortunately for them, I think the Dodgers are a little better. And since Cody Bellinger's come up, the Dodgers have just been, they've been on fire.
Well,
Cody
the Dodgers
Bellinger
have
is,
the Rockies'
is,
number, Max. You know the Dodgers, with Clayton Kershaw pitching himself, he's like 14-15-1 at home against the Colorado Rockies. And the Rockies, as you said, they're 47-30. They're 3.5 games behind the Dodgers. But yeah, they're playing in the toughest division in baseball. And if I told you, Mags, with the Padres in the league, the way the Giants kind of fell off a little bit last year, and the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and I told you before the season, season started that the National League West could potentially be the best division in Major League Baseball, what would you have told me?
I have said probably not. I would have gone with the American League East because the Yankees, Red Sox, Baltimore, Toronto.
But
you
did
know,
you see this coming? I would have thought. And if, no. I told you the National League West, you'd have said, yeah, I could see the Dodgers and the Giants battling it out.
I would have. If you would have made an argument for the Rockies, I would have gone along with it. However, I would not have believed you when you told me that the Diamondbacks would be 47-28 today, 27-10 at home.
Yeah.
You know, there.
Can I tell you something, Megs?
What's that?
I have a $5 World Series championship thing that I bought at the beginning of the season on the Arizona Diamondbacks before a single game was played. Only $5.
That's all right.
Only $5.
Because I'm sure it was probably 100-1 or so.
It's in the vicinity of that. Yeah, it's up there. So the bottom line is, you know, and it was actually, I can't take credit for it. A friend of mine wanted me to take the Diamondbacks, and I couldn't see getting him that ticket and then not getting myself one. And, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want to kick yourself in the ass down the road. So I'm like, the hell with it. I bought the ticket, and that was the extent of it. But, these guys are extremely hot. No question, the Diamondbacks are blazing, just like your boy on the Salt Lake City Bees. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Again, Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is now time for Fact This. That hurts my throat, but I like it. Huh. It's like a little tickle or something, man. I don't know. Hey, listen. The Floyd Mayweather, this is a fact, the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor farce, I mean fight, has been conveniently scheduled on August 26th at T-Mobile Arena, 3 weeks before the best real fight we might see for the next couple of years. This is more than my opinion. This does contain fact. Because of McGregor Mayweather, Canelo and Triple G actually have to really work at promoting their fight. And you have Oscar De La Hoya, the CEO of Golden Boy Promotions, calling the middleweight championship fight the real fight. And how can you blame him? As I have reiterated several times on this show, what any boxing expert worth his salt has been saying from the beginning, McGregor has no chance, as he has never fought a professional boxing bout in his life. Alvarez and Golovkin, however I say the hell his last name.
Golovkin,
yeah, excuse me. I left out an O in my typing, and I knew it was Golovkin. Triple G has the makings of a great fight. If you can only afford to see one, listen to De La Hoya and see the real fight. You agree with that, Megs?
Yeah, if
you could only see one, which
if
fight
I could
are you
only
watching?
See one, I'm gonna go watch the, or I'm gonna pay to watch Triple
fight.
G against Canelo,
the real fight.
You know why? Because I think Canelo and Triple G would both beat the hell out of Floyd Mayweather today. Now, it wasn't the case 5 years ago. Today, I think there's a reason why Floyd's taking the chump, and I say that in a joking manner. Because Conor McGregor would beat the living hell out of most men walking this planet. But in a boxing ring, I don't think he's got much of a chance. And to me, it's a matter of, do you want to pay for the spectacle or do you want to pay for the fight?
You're literally paying only to see a little tiny piece of history that to me will be an insignificant piece of Kansas's song, Dust in the Wind.
I don't even see it as history because to me it's...
It is, Maggie. There's nothing historical about it, though. Here's the thing.
It's like if they took you and had you race Usain Bolt. There's nothing historical about that. You know, you're putting a thoroughbred in there against a donkey.
Well, it's harsh because McGregor is an animal inside the octagon.
Well, that's the thing. You put Mayweather in the octagon.
Here's the thing is,
it McGregor, is in the boxing
well, here's
ring.
What we're going to learn. We're going to learn something because Floyd Mayweather is a dancer. Floyd Mayweather hasn't tried to knock anyone out, Mags, in 5 years. When it happens by accident, okay? So, and the thing about Triple G and Canelo, those two are both guys that want to knock you out. You're going to see haymakers, blood, gut. It's everything you want to see. Like I said, I'll bet that's the best fight we're going to see in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is you put Mayweather in the octagon, and it's the same thing. It's a thoroughbred versus a donkey because Mayweather has no business in the octagon, just like McGregor. You know, if you listen to what McGregor's sparring partner said, in that he thinks that Mayweather will just pick him apart and he thinks he could get knocked out. I don't know if Mayweather's going to knock him out. I think Mayweather's going to humiliate him for 12 rounds. However, I think the trash talk leading up to this fight is going to be epic. Because
it's going to be great. But, Max, you really think it could go 12 rounds?
I don't think it will.
The thing is, I'm kind of agreeing with you. This is going to be what we're going to learn is we're going to learn how hard Conor McGregor's head is. We're going to learn in this fight. That's the one thing we will learn.
The fight will go as long as Mayweather wants it to go. How about that?
I like that. I think that's a fair assessment.
Because if Mayweather wants to knock him out, Mayweather will knock him out.
He can kick his ass in a boxing.
I think Mayweather is going to humiliate him. I really do. I don't see, and I'm hoping that when all these Irish people come over from the Emerald Isle, they start putting all their money on McGregor, because I'm waiting for that Mayweather price to get low enough to where there's value on it for me.
Yeah, it has to get a lot lower, Mags. It does now, but... Because
right now,
I'd throw $20 on McGregor because it's a waste to throw it on Mayweather. It's a waste.
It is right now, but I think as we get closer, you know, I heard a sportsbook director saying 90% of the money they've taken on that fight has been on McGregor.
Well, I heard the same thing.
The key is you have to get in before the professional money, because you're going to have to find a balance, because once the professional money comes in, the value on Mayweather will drop because they're all going to be on Mayweather. It's like basically, I hate to say free money because nothing's ever guaranteed.
Magnum, Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas taught us there is no such thing as free money.
Yeah, but Buster Douglas was at least a boxer.
He was a boxer, but let's be realistic. Put it this way. Before, let's say Mike Tyson, that never happened. And you have knowledge that you have now and that never happened. And I said to you, Mags, who do you give a better chance to? And let's be realistic. You somehow wipe it out of your mind. Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson or Conor McGregor beating Floyd Mayweather right now, with Floyd Mayweather being 40 years old, who would you say would be a better fight, and who do you think would have a better chance of winning? I'm going to be honest, and because you have to put yourself in the moment, because you remember the Douglas fight.
Yes.
But if you put yourself in the moment, I would have to believe that if you had to check a box, it was voting. It would be as tough of a vote as voting for Bill Clinton, for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. It would be as tough as pulling the lever of me saying it, and I'd probably push the button of McGregor Mayweather as being a better fight. I really would, Mags, if beforehand, right now.
You know, honestly, I probably, even to this day, still knowing what I know, I would probably bet Douglas, because with the Tyson thing, you had the distraction. He had the upcoming rape trial.
We weren't thinking about any of that. We thought it was a one round. We thought, matter of fact, I'll bet half of the people that paid for that fight went to church and prayed for Buster Douglas to stay alive after that fight. If you looked at their records and their ability, Buster Douglas should have been knocked out in 24 seconds in that fight. Mike Tyson was not Mike Tyson. Didn't show up. He had a million things on his mind, and we know there is nothing more clouded than the mind of a messed up young Mike Tyson.
Well, I think that I think we could look at and say, you know, Tyson or Douglas wasn't intimidated by Mike Tyson like a lot of other guys were.
Well, I was intimidated by Mike Tyson, and I still have both my ears. Out of Line is here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas. And I'll borrow a line from my good friend and fellow sports broadcaster, Bernie Fratto. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyways. Thanks to Magnum. Thanks to Jesse Granger. Thanks to Derek. We'll see you next week.